24 hours a day on your desktop or laptop, smartphone or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz HD2 is available via HD radio. And in the Waukegan and Pleasant Prairie areas, the service is being broadcast temporarily over analog radio at 103.3 FM. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Jess for Education Matters. It is October 7th, and I am in the studio today with Kimberly and Arletta from Payne and Fraser Consulting, LLC. Hello and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
We're going to take a brief sec just to introduce you folks because you're brand new and you sought me out. So this is new for me even. So we'll start with you, Kim. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Kimberly Payne, and I'm a co-owner of Payne and Fraser Consultants, LLC, a Racine-based company.
And I am Dr. Arletta Fraser Tucker, one of the co-owners of Payne and Fraser Consulting Companies.
Is this the only thing that you do? Is Payne and Fraser the only thing that both of you folks do, or are you connected to other ties in the community?
It's definitely not the only thing we do.
Okay.
I work full-time for Racine County as the manager of marketing and fund development.
Okay.
Also, I'm an adjunct for UW Parkside. I teach in their Institute for Professional Educator Development.
Awesome. Yes. So if anybody wanted to be, like, certified, correct, in any other ongoing adult learning sort of things, that's what you do?
Well, I teach college students who will be future teachers.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
And I teach full-time at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in the social work program. I recently just graduated with my doctorate degree in clinical social work. So I am preparing master-level social work students to come out into the community and to help families and children.
That's amazing. Thank you for joining me. So I got lots of questions, only because this is so new.
Sure.
I've never heard of you folks before. And
okay.
In your email, you had said, you know, we're new as of this year. So tell the listening audience about who Payne and Fraser is, what you guys do, where you're located, that sort of stuff. Give us a rundown.
Sure. We're based out of Racine, and we are new this year. We're a team of consultants. There's Arletta and myself, as well as a few other consultants that work with us and other folks that we contract out with. And Payne and Fraser was founded on the premise that empowered communities have a strong sense of engagement and that there are always opportunities for a community, for the community to be educated and to build awareness. And so you'll see on all of our materials, it says engage, educate, and empower. That's our tagline for that reason. What we specialize in is engagement events, being community engagement events that bring people together. We do conversation cafes, discussion groups. Also, like the event that we have coming up, our Black Boys Conference, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you'll get to, that will be major community engagement event for us. We also do event planning, educational and community-wide event planning, as well as we offer some Spanish-English translation services because we're also committed to being inclusive and making sure that all segments of our community have that opportunity to communicate.
That's awesome.
And I think our Kimberly and I are both from Racine, born and raised in Racine. So we have an investment to give back into our community to help build the community. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the birth of Payne and Fraser as well, is because we wanted to strengthen our community.
How did you come to be? Like, as a new company, obviously you saw a need in the community, but how did Payne and Fraser come to be? And who are your clients that you then
Well, we kind of started discussing this about 15 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, because how we, I think from that discussion, we became where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. We started to look at the needs of the community as it relate to our children. Kimberly and I worked together at 21st Century Preparatory School. Mm-hmm. I was a school social worker, and she was the dean of students there at that time when we started to look at the needs of children. And so we started talking about the needs of our black boys and the condition that they were in, and we kind of started just having more of a discussion and trying to move it forward then. And then here, 15 years later, we came back and said, hey, the need is still there. There's still no changes. Mm. What are we going to do at this point? And then we sat down a few times and came up and birthed out Payne and Frazier.
Mm-hmm. And we're friends, too. Yes. We met about 15 years ago. Yeah. We, in addition to working at 21st Century together, we worked for the YWCA together. Yes. Arletta was actually on the committee that hired me, and I came in and we became fast friends and realized we had a mutual interest in bettering our community. Mm-hmm. And then we, like Arletta said, fast forward 15 years later, over the years, we've accumulated a lot of great experiences, a lot of great contacts. We've been very fortunate to always be in positions where we could provide service to the community through our job in addition to doing it on our own. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down and we said, you know what, we have the expertise and the passion for our own community to get out and do something. And so Payne and Frazier was born for the purpose of being able to impact the community in a very powerful way.
Who are your clients? Because you do a lot of speaking engagements and community mm-hmm. education pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, who are your clients and how do you find your clientele?
We're building, and we actually just launched our website last week. And so the clients that we have to date have been word of mouth.
Okay.
One of our clients that we're really, really excited about working with is 21st Century Preparatory School. We were just contracted to launch a mentoring program for at-risk boys at the school. And so that program will start later on this month. Mm-hmm. And it's a program that we've designed to be a cohort model for at-risk boys to have a mentor come in from the community to work as a team. To have a chance to sharpen up their academic skills, their leadership skills, to make some community connections and just push them towards some positive outcomes educationally and teach them some things that they can carry through life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is your website then for those who are interested in finding you on the World Wide Web?
Well, our website is www.pnfconsultants.com.
Do you also have Facebook? Do you use Twitter? Or is not this yet, like not brand yet. New, we're taking off yes. here?
We will eventually, but not yet. We started off with the website and some other promotional materials.
So you started this year. Can I ask when? Because you have a conference coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And like this year could be like we started 2 months ago. And so we're super motivated to do this.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
This past so when you summer. Emailed me, you were new?
Yeah. Yeah, we were brand new. Okay. I mean, we literally, like, I would give it 3 months ago. Yes. It was the beginning of the summer. We started. And we had talked about this before and had started the process, but that's when things really went full blown. And actually, we had a friend come to us, and she kind of helped start us. Mm-hmm. She said, hey, you know, I'm concerned about what's going on with our African-American boys in our community. You guys are starting up. Can you do something? And so we put our heads together and we said, you know, a conference would be a perfect offering for our community to start the awareness building, to get some education around it, and to get folks grounded in what's really going on in our community. And then we can use that as a jumping off point to do some action planning and really work towards some long-term solutions around the success of black boys in our community. So we owe a lot of credit to our friend, Lisa Hill Driver, who pushed us out there. And she said, she came and she said, we ought to do something. And by the end of the conversation, she said, you guys go do it. I'll be right there to support you. So that's
how
it happened.
She was actually one of our first clients as well. Mm-hmm. We did some work for Lisa as well for her own business.
Okay.
So, you're right. She was one who we give a lot of credit to, is saying that you guys are young, get out there. You have the energy to do this. You have the expertise to do it. Now do it. And you know what? I'm going to be your first client. And here's an idea around black boys. And so she did that this past summer. Went out a couple lunches with her, and then we birthed out PNF.
So as far as consulting goes, I'm guessing that your clientele base is going to also include then, like, schools. Mm-hmm. And then would it also then include employers who are like, hey, guess what? Like, we want to make a more positive impact on our community. And we actually, like, I don't know, need to have, what is it called, like sensitivity training and stuff mm-hmm. in the workplace? Is that something that you also consult and provide?
Yes. And I think we bring the expertise to the table. Prior to being a school social worker at 21st Century, I recently just left 21st Century in July as their executive director and coming in having understanding about school functioning mm-hmm. And having both of us have understanding about parent engagement, not just because we had parents, we had children that attended Unified, but also working in a school setting. What are some of the needs of parents? Mm. What are some of the needs of children in order for them to be successful? And then with Kimberly's background with the county, understanding the needs of employers mm-hmm. as well. And so being able to bring these expertise together and present them to our community to strengthen it, I think, is one of our main goals.
I do see it as a main goal as well. And if a company wanted to do something in the community, but also within their own company culture, mm-hmm. We do specialize in doing conversation cafes and discussion groups. And so if there's anybody that wants to pull together a group of people for the purposes of getting their feedback and using that information to inform a process, mm-hmm. like a strategic plan or any major change that's going on, or maybe you just want to know what's going on with your employees and how you can make some improvements to the culture, we would also be open mm-hmm. to doing that because Good. We've both done a number of those types of projects as well.
How does this translate from the community into both of you work at institutes of higher learning? And do you see, and we'll get to it in a second, with some of the community conditions, do you see that even at a college level, these issues need to be addressed? And if so, how do we go about doing that? Are we taking it little pieces? We're going to start with the youth and move forward.
I think they absolutely need to be addressed mm-hmm. because our reality right now is that we're in crisis when it comes to our Black boys and men in our community, but also communities around our nation. And what we're at risk of is that the landscape of our community will change. We all pride ourselves on diversity, being inclusive, remaining competitive, but the face of higher education will also change if we're not doing something early on to ensure the success of Black boys who then could matriculate into schools like Gateway, Parkside, Carthage, and other institutions of higher learning. So I feel like it's a community responsibility if we're truly committed to diversity and success of everybody that lives in our community.
Yeah, I totally agree with Kimberly. And even working as a full-time professor and teaching 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, a lot of what they bring into the classrooms at the college level mm-hmm. Is very limited. And I think it has a lot to do with the level of support within the parents and families in preparing their kids for college. Mm-hmm. What does it look like in preparation for them? You can't wait till they get into high school to start preparing them. You got to start it at 3 years old to start preparing these kids with the mindset of college, but then also with their behavior when they get into college. Mm-hmm. I'm finding out, from being a professor, students, still struggle with handing in homework, writing skills, just really simple things that you would think that a college student, when they come into college, they have mastered and they're ready to be successful at that level. It's like us really starting all over with them and reteaching them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see that in the kids I work with.
Right.
Yeah. They're supposed to be prepared to step into the workplace,
right.
which is what Job Corps prepares you for. And then when I'm like, do you have your resume? And they're like, what's that? And I'm
right.
like, oh, that's no, yes. no bueno. We need to work on this. When we talk about community, what is your range? Where do you guys cover? What's your territory?
As far as being a consulting group, we're open to working outside of the Racine community.
Mm-hmm.
We actually embrace the opportunity mm-hmm. to become part of other communities and inform their processes by doing discussion groups and events and training and things of that nature. Our passion is born out of Racine and mm-hmm. the fact that we're both from Racine, products of the school district in Racine, and have our families in Racine. So we're open. And also we see community as being global. We know that what we do in this community has a ripple effect to all of the other larger communities that Racine, Wisconsin is then part of.
So just to stress, if someone is listening and they're in Kenosha, you're not going to tell them no.
No, absolutely we will not tell them no.
Absolutely
we absolutely
not.
Will not tell them no. And Racine and Kenosha are joined, really, mm-hmm. at the hip in so many ways. And so when we talk about any type of major issue or challenge or community condition that affects Racine, if it hasn't already, it probably will affect Kenosha. I mean, we talk about like even economic development and all of the big transitions that are in the works right now. Everything that affects one affects the other. We're mm-hmm. so closely joined.
Yes,
and
right.
we share a lot of resources.
Yes.
I'm also a trustee here at Gateway Technical College. And so the board serves three counties. And everything we talk mm-hmm. about on the board, we talk about it in terms of the way that it impacts all three counties and our region.
Awesome. Yeah, I know that there has been, as of what, 2015, a big push where they're changing things to be tri-county or mm-hmm. an area, your
right.
workforce development one.
Right.
And so having that and a focus with collaboration, have you seen, I mean, since you started, are you crazy busy? Like, you know, are people just blowing you up constantly going, hey, your mission is great. Let's get you in and talk to our people. And is it what you've expected?
Yeah, the last past month, it has really picked up. And I think it is the individuals that we're working with, they're responding to the needs in the community, which the reason why they're bringing us in. And we are crazy busy. I think last week, Friday, we were sitting there saying, wow, I would have loved to have worked in my yard today, you know, but we had to meet with a new client on transportation, you know, on how they can provide more services in the community area, the surrounding areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a couple hours, you know, writing and because Kimberly also does some of the grant writings as well for some new clients.
I do. And that aligns with my role at Racine County. I'm mm-hmm. the manager for marketing and fund development. So I do grant writing in that job, but then also we have new clients that are coming along wanting some help in that area. So we offer a lot of different services.
Mm-hmm. Because we've now crossed like such a board, a flow chart. How about we talk bullet point, just a few of the services that if someone wanted to reach out to you folks, you cover.
Sure. Do you want to go? Or do you want me to?
Go ahead
okay.
and start. So
here's the list, listening audience. Pay attention.
On community engagement, we do offer opportunities to pull people together. We offer conversation cafes, and those are larger group discussions that are set up like world cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically people would come in and they would have an opportunity to have a smaller table discussion, and all of the information from all of the guided table discussions would then feed back up to a larger discussion and would be included in the data that's collected from that conversation. We also do smaller discussion groups. So if a company wanted to bring us in and have us talk to teams of employees on a more intimate level around company culture or any type of issue that is in the forefront for that company, we're able to do that. Also under community engagement, we offer Spanish-English translation. Just realizing that our population of Spanish-speaking mm-hmm. Community members is growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had many requests for that yet, but we know it will come.
Mm.
We're able to offer translators who can come in person to meetings, court meetings, school meetings, any type of meetings where a translator is needed. But then we also have a team that can do writing and can translate documents, which brings a lot of value in having
yes.
a native speaker actually translate the documents versus dumping it into a website and having it translate.
And I think we, you know, another thing is offering education, such as our Black Boys Conference that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that basically is just building awareness and empowering our community in the areas that that affects our children in the area of education. I like the comment that we put in here that the old saying, knowledge is power, and it still rings true. Educational offerings include customizing training and programs and business development and educational events as well as what we offer
mm-hmm.
Payne and Frazier.
So how about we talk about that? For those of you that might just now be tuning in, you are listening to Jess. This is Education Matters, and on my show today, we have Kim and Arletta from Payne and Frazier Consultings, LLC. And why I think you mostly reached out was so that we could push and discuss your conference that
mm-hmm.
you have coming up, Black Boys, an Endangered Species. So your conference goals were to raise awareness for community conditions related to Black Boys, learn from the experience of Black boys and men, begin the conversation about solution to the challenges faced by Black boys, and call the community to action. Let's talk about your conference. So I read through this when you sent this to me, and then you just handed me an updated form. So some of the questions I have you answered, but we'll go through. Coming up November, correct?
Yes.
Right.
On the 17th, that's a Friday from 8 to 4 at Gateway Tech. Racine campus in their conference center in the Racine building is where this will be held. It's an all-day conference. So who is your target audience for this?
Our target audience is community members, educators, and professionals, and basically anybody that's interested in making a difference. If you're interested in learning more, seeing how you can contribute, you're welcome. This is a no-cost event, thanks to our many, many sponsors that made this possible. And if I can give a sponsor shout-out,
yes,
I would love to do
yes,
it because this truly
that
would
was
not
one of my
be
questions.
Possible. It would not be possible without
right.
our sponsors. And bear with me because it's a long list, and we feel very blessed to have so many
yes.
people on board with us. Our sponsors are 21st Century Preparatory School, Anonymous, Becker, French, and Durkin Attorneys at Law, Betty Brenneman, Coming Together Racine, Dr. Johnson, Gateway Technical College, Higher Expectations for Racine County, Insider News, Latoya Robbins Thurman, Mike and Ann Frontier, NAACP Racine Branch, Phyllis's Gift, Racine Community Foundation, the Racine Mirror, Racine County Human Services Department, Reginald McLean, Roots Residential LLC, Terry Jones, the Urban League of Racine and Kenosha, Virginia Bueller, Visioning a Greater Racine, and Zoe Outreach Ministries.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That is quite a list. And how did you come to have these sponsors? And how did setting this conference up go?
Well, I think we probably set the conference up first, and then we went out to sponsors, and we just started talking. Mm-hmm. We started sharing information with them on why we need to get together and to do this. And they just started to come. Kimberly and I would send emails out. We sent out drafts. We had this already together, so we would send this out in emails. And
for those of you who can't see,
yes,
what we're
our postcard.
Talking about is the postcard, which is really nicely done. Who did these for you?
Actually, Terry Verant, she actually lives in Kenosha. She's part of our marketing group with Payne and Frazier, so she does a lot of our marketing stuff for us.
So we hit the streets with everything, and
yes.
I have to give another shout out. We have a champion on our team who helped us raise money, and that champion is my husband.
Yes.
Like us, he talked to anybody that would listen and put information in their hands, and it resulted in the blessing of having so many sponsors and being able to offer this completely free of charge.
Yes.
That's good.
He did, and he stopped, and he put the responsibilities back into their hands. If you can complain about this, hey, this is what someone is trying to do.
Good.
This is what you can do to help.
I like
so,
that idea.
Yes.
That approach.
He did. He did an awesome job in assisting us. And with the planning of it, we just really looked at the needs of Black boys from coming from a person who worked in the school, mm-hmm. the conditions of the graduation rates, how many Black boys we have in prison, Black men in prison,
mm-hmm.
And looking at that. And we just thought this might be a really great awareness to bring to our community of what we're doing in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at our graduation rate from Racine, it's very low with the minority children that graduate from high school. But what can we do differently? And so we took it from that aspect, and then we began to start looking for a keynote speaker who had a similar experience with his upbringing. And that's the reason why how we came up with Shaka based off of his book, and then watching him on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah Winfrey and hearing his story, we thought he would be a great speaker and he agreed. He agreed to come. So
yeah, I was when I first got this email, I read it over. I did a double take. I read this a few times and was like, "Is this real?" Like, I was like, "I know that last name," and then I was like, "They really want to come on the show and talk with me." Cool. That's neat because like this is what number 3 or 4 that I've done independently, and so like when people seek me out, I'm like, oh, this makes life easy.
No, we appreciate you having us
yes.
and giving us an opportunity to talk about this important work. I want to say that the conference registration will be open this week.
Good.
Yeah. So in case people are wanting to register, I would say by Friday, you can go to www.pnfconsultants.com for registration. And we're just excited about it because we know that it's just a tremendous opportunity to make an impact in this community.
So for those of you out there who are listening and interested, Black Boys and Endangered Species Conference is happening Friday, November 17th from 8 to 4. Registration begins at 8 a.m. The conference will start at 9. Breakfast, lunch are provided. And for all of this, there is no cost. Not anything, thanks to their generous sponsors. It will be held at Gateway Tech. Again, you can register and begin signing up to attend this event Friday, you said. Register by November 10th. www.pnfconsultants.com. But let's jump into the meat and potatoes of what is affecting our community. So when you sent this to me, you had a breakdown, which is very much appreciated, because I think a lot of times our community talks about this, but they don't provide information. And I think, unfortunately, people become complacent, and they hear the same thing over and over, and they're like, whatever, which is unfortunate, because then when you have people that are – I work for Job Corps, so I work with youth who need another opportunity to enter the workforce in some way. When you work, I think, in a workforce building, and then you go out into your regular lives, and you hear people go, whatever, or they complain, and I'm like, yeah, you – like, this isn't made up. This is not made up. This is not an affront to, like, offend anybody. We should be offended by this because we're failing a mass population of people that we systemically have continued to do nothing but decide, oh, you're not worthy of this, and that isn't okay. So let's talk about our community conditions. So with the stats you gave me, it said 59% is the estimated graduation rate of black males in Wisconsin compared to 94% for white males. I went and looked up all your stuff, and I was like, what? That comes from the Schultz Foundation for Public Education. They're based out of Massachusetts, and they have been doing longitudinal studies for years on the disparities of minorities in our public school system. And I think now, too, they had grants and stuff that are for community-based targeted events, because if the school isn't going to do it, they're going to work within the community to make it prevalent. Like, if this institute's broken, we're just going to go into the community and fix it. 20% of black boys received out-of-school suspension compared to 4.6% of white students, and that's from the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights. 17% of black men in the United States have a bachelor's degree compared to 30% of all men, and that's from blackdemographics.com. If you want other additional information, or you think we're just making this up, check out the Bureau of Labor and Statistics as well as the U.S. Census, because that information, when they compile data in regards to neighborhoods, when you move somewhere and your insurance go up because they say it's a high-risk neighborhood, why is that? I don't feel any less unsafe in the neighborhood I currently live in, and I pay a ridiculous amount on my insurance. My neighbors ain't gonna bust in my windows. I'm not concerned. But I think that comes from this weird community fear almost. We know it exists. We don't like to talk about it, and it makes us uncomfortable, and it should. Because if we're uncomfortable, we have to do something. So it says also for men in their 20s, black men make up only 7% of the Wisconsin male population, but 46% of them have spent time in prison. And that comes from Quinn 2013. So my background is a criminal justice major. I studied and got my degree at Parkside, and Rome was one of my professors, who I don't know if you are familiar with who that is. But there was very much, for him, a call to action in his classes where it was odd. A majority, I would say, of students who took criminal justice classes were white students. And when a black professor stood in front of them and said, you're doing nothing but locking up my community, and white people wanted to say, that's not true, I don't know how you can, like, not slap those kids in class. Because I see it, even with my students. They go to Job Corps. They get out, and you know what they do? They jump right back into the community because the community hasn't been fixed. So let's talk for you folks, because this is an issue. What are we doing in Racine besides PNF? Let's talk about Racine and how collaboration has worked to start to change some of this.
The good news about Racine is that it's a community that's wide open for collaboration. On the flip side of that, there are a lot of groups working on projects that haven't quite connected to each other yet. And so I think it's just a matter of connecting the people together and just aligning resources to make an even bigger impact. And so there are people that are doing some work, again, but I feel like it's kind of disjointed. And we don't want to contribute to being disjointed. So we're hoping that through our call to action and the work that will result from this conference, we're able to pull together with some folks and align resources, come up with some other great ideas, and start working more closely together.
Having workforce be your background as well, have you found it easy to kind of infiltrate those folks? Or do you find that there are still even gaps that need to be met there? Or do you meet any resistance at work trying to, like, hey guys, we should work together here?
I haven't been met with any resistance. I work for Human Services, and Workforce is a division of Human Services, and have the blessing of having an incredibly aware supervisor. I work under Hope Otto. She's my direct supervisor.
I know who that is.
She's very aware and committed to the community. And actually, Racine County Human Services Department was the first sponsor to get on board.
Yay, shout out to them.
You're right. Yeah. So they see, because when we talk about the landscape of the community changing, we talk about educational institutions. We also talk about how the workforce will change. Mm-hmm. If we don't have a pipeline of Black boys and then Black men that have the skills and are ready to go into the workforce, that will also look different. Every institution that makes up our community will look different in a bad way if something is not done. Because we talked about 15 years ago, and if we put data from 15 years ago side by side with data from today, nothing has really changed.
No.
In fact, things have gotten worse.
The numbers have gone up.
Yeah. They have. And so we feel like there's no better time than the present, because we don't want another 15 years to go by and to look up and we're all still in the same predicament. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to take anything away from all of the work that's already being done, but there has to be a way for us to pull together and to, even if we have to start off small and pick one issue and just go at it until we see the needle move.
Okay. Right. I agree.
Do you guys, are you as a consulting firm responsible for, like, numbers and stuff? Will you be publishing that sort of information?
Well, our goal is to, with the call to action, if we can get individuals to work with us, we would like to look at a way of measuring success of programs that will qualify, I mean, that will require numbers, for us to look at the numbers to see what is working in our community, what is changing the environment that these kids are living in. You know, we have to get into some level of working with the families to be able to change mindsets of kids to think bigger about their future. And yes, we're hoping that people who are out there, who are doing things, that come to the conference where we can all work together. And our goal is, in a year from now, is to go back and look at those numbers, what we have done together. Did it make the impact that we needed to make? And if it did not, where was the downfall at, and what can we do differently? Not give up.
Right.
Not stop, because programs are known for doing that. I didn't see what I saw, so I'm going to pull my support and da-da. No, it's about re-looking at it again, reinventing it, and putting it back out there until we find out what formula works in making an impact on these kids.
Right, and having a sustained effort, because we are notorious as a community for having lots of stops and starts and fits, and, you know, we stop and we move on to the next big shiny thing, but then we still have these persistent issues that they don't go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, bridging that gap. Like, Racine County has been really good at, okay, we notice that we have a very high unemployment rate. What are the targeted causes for that? Mark Mundell and Sindel Jennings joined me for one of my shows where we talked about that GED initiative, which is just one facet. And I think, listening audience, what we should be pulling away from this today is that when we talk about engaging the community, it requires all facets of said community. It's not just those institutions, but moving into the community and making sure – and community is your neighborhoods.
Right.
Racine is really awesome about having – those community centers that are all over the place, making sure that families know that they're cared about and that they're not just left hanging out on the porch of on Villa, to like point out a street, but you're kind of left to disintegrate, and we can't have communities disintegrate, because then we as a whole fall apart. So we don't want to take anybody's jobs away, but reducing numbers in prison and making sure that other people have educational opportunities so that their families are united and they feel comforted in that sense of community, I think is something that we need. Yes?
Yeah, we need that. Definitely. We need that. And we need to shift in, because right now we have disproportionate numbers of black males represented in a lot of institutions. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the justice system, we look at the foster care system, and we look at not just the numbers, but also just the system itself and how it's put together. And so I think one of the pieces that we want to look at, too, is how do we pull together and start to have a closer look at all of these systems? Because at some point, it's not the people that are just coming to the system. Mm-hmm. There's something within the system as well that may need to be adjusted. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's called continuous improvement. We're always in the habit of looking at and readjusting and figuring out different ways to work. We're very fortunate to have – I want to go back to the conference program for just a minute. We're very fortunate to have as our welcome and our opening keynote Mr. Courtney Bader. Courtney is a social justice program director at UW Oshkosh, and he will come in the morning as our opening keynote and give a dynamic presentation really to set the stage for the day. Mm-hmm. He'll be instrumental in helping everybody get grounded in some critical data that tells the story of what's going on in our Racine community and how that plays into the rest of the state and the nation. So we're very excited about him.
How did you find him and why Oshkosh?
Arletta found him.
Yes, I did. I did find Courtney. I actually heard Courtney twice. And I just looked him up and said, hey, this is what we're doing. And he said, and he actually was supposed to be at another conference and canceled because he found this to be so important. And he also had mentioned the timing of this conference. He said, you know, you ladies, this is the right time. Mm-hmm. I'm canceling with the other conference, and I will be joining you.
Awesome.
So I've heard him speak, and he's going to do a phenomenal activity that I think everyone who wants to come should be a part of this activity. I can't go into too much detail about it.
You have to come.
You have to come, but it would change the way you view things. Because we did ask him to do the activity, and I participated in it before in a couple other events that he had hosted. So
yeah, we're very happy to have mm-hmm. him. And if I can continue to run down
the program. I was going to ask you to. You're already ahead of me. Go on.
So after that opening keynote, we then have a variety of breakout sessions that will be offered. So our goal is for Courtney to get everybody grounded in a broad stroke overview of what's mm-hmm. going on mm-hmm. with our black boys and men. And then people will have a chance to select some breakout sessions if they want to go deeper on certain topics. One of the sessions that we're really excited about is building resilience in at-risk families and youth. Mm-hmm. That session will be facilitated by my daughter and my son-in-law. Dr. Moss is out of Toledo, Ohio. She'll be coming in along with her husband. They're both very active in the community in Toledo, who has some similar mm-hmm. situations and mm-hmm. some similar demographics to Racine. And so they'll do that session for us. Also, we have an opportunity for people who want to go and talk to each other and help us gather information. That way, we'll offer a conversation cafe that can accommodate up to 100 people.
Awesome.
That cafe will be facilitated by LaToya Robbins Thurman, who's on staff here at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
and so we're very fortunate to have her as well to do that for us. other sessions that we're offering that we're in the process of confirming our speakers for those breakouts will be around the long-term health impacts of toxic stress on black boys. Mm-hmm. We're in conversation with several doctors, and so we're confident we'll have someone do that session. Additionally, we're looking at a session on the juvenile justice system and the disproportionality, and we have a couple of attorneys that we're in conversation with, so we'll be able to offer that. After the breakout sessions, that's when our national keynote, Shaka Singh Gore, will do his session, which will be outstanding. Again, as Arletta was sharing, he's been on Oprah, CNN, a number of different shows, and received a lot of accolades for his speaking, but also for his work. He is a national best-selling author mm-hmm. And a reformist, and we're just excited to bring him to our community.
It says that his memoir is called Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison. And I did look him up, too, mm-hmm. and, like, how did you get him?
Well, we did have Carl McNeil came to my office. I was at 21st Century, and I said, I'm trying to locate Shaka. And he just happened to know a contact person for Shaka, and he assisted us in getting connected to the publisher and getting him to come. And he was open. We booked him immediately so that we could make sure that no one else came in.
You're
and
not
took
stealing
him.
He's coming here.
So we actually had some assistance with Carl McNeil just connecting us. And then watching him on Super Soul Sunday, I just thought his story will inspire adults. And hopefully his story will also give us a way to reflect. What are we doing in our community? When we see a child, how are we responding to this black boy? Mm-hmm. You know, how are we looking at him? Because that's what his story is about. And hopefully that this will bring a reflection of us as a community to make some changes.
I agree. And Shaka is so generous, he's agreed to join the panel discussion that will take place after his keynote. There'll be a facilitated panel discussion. Our moderator is Angela Frazier, who happens to be Arletta's sister. she will moderate for us. And Shaka and four other young African-American men will be part of that panel. And this, I feel like, will be a very empowering experience for them as well as us. Mm-hmm. All too often, we try to tell other people's stories. And so we wanted to ask a group of black men to come and tell their own stories. Mm-hmm. And so this panel, they'll talk about successes, adversity they've faced, resources they've utilized, who their support systems are, who inspires and influences them, and what they wish was different about the way things are in our world right now. So we're looking forward to that, too. I see that as another huge highlight. And then we'll end the day with a wrap-up and a call to action. And at that time, we'll talk about what next steps will Payne and Frazier take and how can you take those steps with us. And so we don't want to leave this conference as just another great day where people got around and, you know, ate free food and heard some speakers. We really want to get in action and mobilize the folks that came and do some longer-term planning. Right. And again, as I said before, the planning is not that we're going to solve an issue overnight, but we're going to pull together resources and we're going to figure out what can we do, and we're going to start. Because sometimes that's just the challenge of just starting. So we'll start. And then at the end of the day, Shaka will, again, very generous, he will stay around for a book signing. We'll have copies of his book on hand, and people will have a chance to talk directly with him.
Awesome. What other important things must someone who is just maybe tuning in, like, what are they talking about? We're here with Kim and Arletta, and we're talking about Black Boys, an Endangered Species Conference, which is happening again Friday, November 17th, 8 to 4, Gateway Tech College. You can begin to register Friday at www.pnfconsultants.com. No cost. All of this great information, even if you are a doubting Thomas on such things within your community, show up. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Enjoy the free opportunity for food and some knowledge. Make sure your listening ears are on and your mind is open, because that's how we're going to change things.
Yes.
Thank you to all of your wonderful sponsors, your plethora
yes,
of lists.
Yes, can we please thank them again? I want to read off yes, our sponsors again who make this entirely possible for us. They are 21st Century Preparatory School, Anonymous, Becker, French, and Durkin Attorneys at Law, Betty Brenneman, Coming Together Racine, Dr. Johnson, Gateway Technical College, Higher Expectations for Racine County, Insider News, Latoya Robbins Thurmond, Mike and Ann Frontier, NAACP Racine Branch, Phyllis's Gift, Racine Community Foundation, The Racine Mirror, Racine County Human Services Department, Reginald McLean, Roots Residential, Terry Jones, Virginia Bueller, Visioning a Greater Racine, and Zoe Outreach Ministries.
All thanks to you folks is
yes.
this possible.
Thank you.
In closing, any final thoughts you'd like to leave our listening audience with?
I would like to just leave this quote that we have at the bottom of our invitation. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And this quote is by Frederick Douglass. So I really hope to see you all at our event.
Yes, thank you. Again, Payne and Frazier Consultings, LLC, because we need to engage our community, these folks exist. And again, they are a team in Racine, which are a consulting firm committed to community engagement, education, training, and development. They empower individuals, organizations, and communities through engagement and education on strategies that make a lasting impact. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful October 7th. This is Jess on 91.1 WGTD HD.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters